Hallelujah. Amen, you bunch of Methodists. Hallelujah. All right. I have noticed that, you know, when people come into the house and they're visiting and they just stay for a little while, they try to figure me out. And yeah. And they keep dropping me in these boxes. And well, he's an Assembly of God preacher. Well, he's Pentecost. Well, he's this. And he, folks, don't try to figure me out, because I'm a bit of a hybrid. I've learned from the Baptists. I've learned from the Catholics. Raised Pentecost. I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer of God. And God, I was a businessman until I was 50, and the Lord put it on our heart to start a church in Paris, Tennessee. And so we came down here. I had preached some, but I never pastored. And so we came down here to answer the call of God, and the Lord put two things on my heart when he called me here. He said, make it a house of prayer and teach the people to love each other. Amen. I'm not bound by doctrine. The thing that I follow is the Word of God. All I'm looking for is His leadership in His Word. Open up Your Word to us, Father. And that's my heart's cry. So what we're trying to do is I'm trying to follow Jesus, and I'm asking you to follow me as I follow Jesus. Amen. And keep your eyes on Him. Every man will fail. So you keep your eyes on Christ. Amen. We are so blessed in the house today to have Janice Fleetwood with us. This little lady, she looks frail, but she's mean as a snake. And 88 years old. And has been through the hardest battle probably of her life in the last 5 months. And she's in the house of God today. Amen. And that is what has got her through this battle. Amen. I'm talking to you today. I really am a different type of preacher. Most preachers are topical. They just pull out a topic and they preach on topics. The Lord has never inspired me to do that. I do it occasionally. But the Lord has led me to take a book and teach from the beginning till the end of that book. Because I feel like when you pull things out of context, you can almost make it say anything you want. But if you keep the Word of God in context, you know who He's writing, you get a clear instruction manual. So I feel I've done a lot of praying about this, and I feel like the Lord has led me to the book of Ephesians. And so if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I want to remind you, on the first day of this month, I preached to you the prayer of Jabez. Expand our territory. Are you praying that? Somebody called me this week and they said, is it okay to pray for yourself? And I thought, duh. I'm like, yes, absolutely pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor's wife, actually. She needs a lot of grace. Yes, pray for yourself. That's the prayer of Jabez. He prayed for himself. Lord, bless me. It's okay to ask the Lord to bless you. Why? Because He wants to. God wants to bless you. God loves you and wants to bless you. And He said, enlarge my territory. I've got news for you, folks. God is enlarging Bridge of Hope's territory. I had a deacon tell me one time, as the church gets larger, pastoring gets difficult, more difficult. And so this deacon looked at me, he said, well, you're getting what you wanted. And I said, I didn't ask for this. The Lord put this in our hearts. But you know what? I'm asking now. Lord, don't stop building the kingdom. I'm praying that your daughters will come in and get saved. I'm praying that your sons will come in and get saved. Your mom and dad and uncle and aunt. The girl that you work with that's so foul mouthed. I'm praying she gets saved. Bless God, he wants to change their lives. I titled this, "The Plan of Salvation is Older Than Dirt." The plan of salvation is older than dirt. I forgot my glasses today, so I'm pulling out my old ones. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read, I think we're going to stop at verse 10, I'm not sure. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." I'm going to read just the first part of verse 11. We may get to it. "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Hallelujah. Jesus, we come before you today. Oh, we're so grateful to be in the house where we know the presence of God is at. Where two or three are gathered together in your name, you'll be right here in the midst of them. Father, we recognize the Spirit of God in this place. And I pray, Lord, right now we bind the enemy from attacking, from hindering, from distracting in any way. I pray that the Word of God would penetrate our hearts today. More than what one man can speak, let the Spirit of God divide this word and take it to each individual heart. God, I pray that every person in here would be fed something from the wisdom of God from heaven on high. I pray, God, that hope and joy would increase in this place substantially. And God, that we would leave feeling like giants in the land, Lord. We may have come in defeated, but God, I pray that not one person would leave this place in any kind of defeat. I pray, Lord, that you would be God over our bodies and God over our minds and God over our spirit, and we would know that we are overcomers. We are not defeated in Jesus. Father, we give you great praise and glory in the house of the Lord. We are forever grateful that you chose us. Hallelujah. God, show us your riches today. Your manifold riches. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the last times I spoke to you, on Acts chapter 19 about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, we started off with Paul coming across a bunch of believers that were from Ephesus. And then in chapter 20, what you don't understand is it appears that there's probably a 2 to 3 year span of time between chapter 19 and verse 20. Because not only did he talk to these guys from Ephesus and laid his hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but then he stayed there and he started a church, probably from those 12 gentlemen. And so Acts chapter 20 is Paul saying goodbye to them, Now, Paul was an apostle. Paul was one that was sent forth to establish things. So he was establishing churches everywhere he went. So he stayed at Ephesus 3 years, 2 to 3 years, which is actually a pretty long time for Paul. And in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, he makes a couple of statements that I thought were really important. He said, I have not shunned to you to preach the whole counsel of God. See, I from a preacher's standpoint, that's a rich statement. One day I will stand in front of my Savior and he will ask me to give an account of what I have done while I was on this earth. And I hope that I will be able to say, I preached the whole counsel of God. That's why I do not like topical preachers. That's why I like preachers that will cover a book. Because if I was topical, I would never talk about divorce. I would never talk about the things that hurt people. Why? Because they're hard to talk about. But when you preach through the Word of God, you get God's perspective on how He feels about these things. And we can see, listen to me closely, we can see that there's grace on everything. Grace on everything. He says, now you shepherd the flock. He said, I brought you the full counsel of God. Now I'm turning it over to you. Now you shepherd, you do what I've been doing for the last 3 years. You shepherd this flock. Follow my example, he says. In verse number 3, he says, but be careful of the savage wolves and the men that arise within you, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples. In other words, he says, guys, don't think it's strange when people come into the church trying to tell you things that I did not teach you, trying to bring disunity, trying to separate you and divide you in any way, teaching you that you can live any old way that you want to live. Now, the interesting thing about the church at Ephesus, if you know your Bible, you know that in Revelation chapter 2, he begins to talk to the seven churches. The first church that he talks about is the church at Ephesus. And he comments and he compliments on them a couple of things, but he says, there's one thing that I hold against you. I think this is so relevant for the church in America. He said, you have lost your first love. What happens when you lose your first love, folks? You get religious. You move from relationship into religion, and religion stinks in the nostrils of God. God's never asked you to be religious. He's asked you to fall in love with Him and follow Him. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which will build you up and give you an inheritance among those who have been sanctified. Now in chapter 1, that's why I read verse 11, he talks about an inheritance. Now see, you don't get an inheritance until somebody dies. And I don't know why it is in the mind of Christians that we don't get our inheritance until we die. That is not the way inheritance works. Inheritance works when someone else dies, they give you something. So heaven is not just all your inheritance. Is it part of it? Yes, it's part of it, but it's not everything. Jesus Christ died so that we could not just gain heaven, but that we could have life, eternal life, and everlasting life, life to the fullest, right here, right now, and make a difference in this world. So, we start with chapter 1, and he says, he's showing that he is an apostle chosen by God. Verse 1 and 2 is very similar to most of the books that Paul writes. And he says, grace and peace. And we think, well, that's just a typical salutation. He's saying, to the Gentile believers, grace. To the Jewish believers, shalom, peace. Why? Because he's going to show us in this book how God is breaking down the dividing wall. There's no such thing as Jews and Gentiles anymore. There's no such thing as a black believer and a white believer and a Hispanic believer. We are all one body in Christ. There's no such thing as Baptist and Church of Christ, Presbyterian and Lutheran and Pentecost. It doesn't matter. We are all believers. Now he broke down the dividing wall. Now it's time the church starts breaking down the dividing wall. Take a couple minutes break and talk among yourself. Whew. This is going to get gooder and gooder. And then he says this. The Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus. Now, if you notice in chapter 1, he starts saying, in him, in him, in him. It seems like it's one of Paul's favorite two words. He will mention in him 160 times in his writings. Nobody's impressed. I counted those. No. 100 and folks, if I stood up here and told you the horse that I'm driving out there today is red and told you 160 times, what would you think? Who cares, right? Yeah, you would think, why does he keep telling us the same thing? He's not even riding a horse today. I saw him pull up in a truck. You know, he's trying to show us something of great value. Being in Christ. He says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessings are the divine privileges of being a son of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says he has given us the right to be called the sons of God. Now that may not mean much to you, but to this little guy here, that never knew his daddy. I was leading worship one time when I was much younger, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to my heart. I knew the verse, but he brought it back to me. He said, I will be a father to the fatherless. I was fatherless. All of a sudden, as I began to lead worship, I began to weep before the Lord. And I mean, I know how to cry and I know how to weep, and I was weeping. Why? Because God just showed me something so precious. In his word, he just told me, I will be your daddy. Your earthly dad might have rejected you, maybe never wanted to know you, but I want to know you. And you're going to find everything you need in me. I wish Christians would just understand that. If we would just understand everything we need for life and godliness, according to 1st, 2nd Peter, everything we need is found in Christ. Then we would quit going to self-help books. We would quit running from here to there, to this church, to that church, to this revival, to that revival. We get in the Word of God and we say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything? 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 Can you talk it as loud as I am? As high as I am? Everything? Let me put my man britches on for just a second. God's going to give us everything we need. Bless the Lord. Everything. That's a big statement. Do you have everything you need? No, you don't. Come on. Just happened to catch eyes with my brother Lieferman back there. Going to the doctors again, right? To have another heart ablation or something that didn't work. This sister up here fought a battle. I'm telling you, all across this congregation, I can point out and say, there's a need here. There's a need here. This one has a financial need. This one needs emotional help. This one has so much anxiety, she can't hardly make it out of bed. Come on, let's quit talking the talk. Let's start walking the walk. If he's everything I need, what is missing? It's not Christ. It's my application of the Word of God. It's walking in the Spirit. It's living in the moment, living in His presence. Amen. I had no idea I was going to preach this hard. If you just happened to walk in today, you're probably thinking, I hope he don't get off that pulpit. And I got news for you. I'm about that close from jumping off that pulpit. Whew. He says, he chose us in him. I didn't choose him. Come on, look at me for a second. You're not that bright. You didn't come to your senses one day and say, I need to get saved. I need to submit my life to Jesus. No, no. Before you ever come to that decision, the Holy Ghost came to you and began to work in your heart and your mind, showing that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm telling you, I don't know why we have a problem with predestination. We ought to say, yes, Jesus, yes. He chose me before the foundation of the world. What's that mean? It means salvation's older than dirt. Before God created this world, before he created Adam and Eve, he had the plan of salvation. He was looking ahead to you. Amen. You know, I find such great... I find such great comfort in that. If you grow, here it goes. If you grew up like me, you got taught that it was all about your sin. And you lived under this guilt of what you've done. And when you read this, that before the foundation of the earth was ever spoken into existence, God said, they're going to mess up. They're going to blow it. Why? Because he didn't create robots. He created people with a free will and a free mind. And he knew Adam and Eve may start it, but they won't end it. He knew you were going to do dumb things. He knew that you were going to be a bonehead. How many of you would like to reel the tape back and never smoke the first joint? Never belly up to the bar? Never open up all the avenues that you have blown it. But let me give you good news. God knew you would do that. And he sent his son to forgive you of your sins. But more than that, to bring you to new life. Here's my summation. Not quitting, but here's my summation. We are living below where Christ has called us to live. I was thinking this morning, if I was a carpenter, a tradesperson, and somebody told me, said, hey, this work that you're going to do, I put all the tools that you're going to need on the table. I went to the tool shed. Everything that you're going to need to do this job, the tools are on the table. But being hard-headed like I am, I thought, I don't need tools. I can do it myself. Boy, hadn't that got us in trouble sometimes. And then to find out how much easier life could have been if I just went to the table and got the right tool to do the job. Right? The tools for everlasting life are on the table of God. He is not withholding his goodness from you. Hear me, hear me, hear me. God's not mad at you. You hear me? God's not mad at you. God's not making you do penance. God's not saying, when you get your act together, I'll bless you. No, no. You ain't ever going to get your act together. Except for the grace of God. Thank God he steps in. Romans 5:8. He demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us when we were yet sinners. When we hated him, he loved us. Thank you, Jesus. He says that he's done some things in salvation. He says that we should be holy, which means set apart, without blame, before him in love. Without blame. People that know you, and then something is told on you, they ought to say, Jack would never do that. I know Jack. He's not that kind of man. Remember what was said about Job? He's blameless. He's blameless on all his ways. That's what God wants for us to be. Holy, set apart. One of the problems with the church today is you can't tell us from the world. Amen. We look just like the world, and that's not what God wants. That's not where we're going to find true joy. That's not the joy of the Lord. You know who said that? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, it wasn't New Testament, that's Old Testament. Nehemiah was sent to do an impossible task, and he did it in 52 days because the people had a mind to work. But he had to remind himself, the joy of the Lord. There's going to be times in your life when you're going to have to remind yourself, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, baby, get happy. Right? You ever have to tell yourself, come on, let's get happy. You can get happy in the same clothes you got sad in. It says that God predestined us. This does not mean that he says some will be saved and some will not be saved. It means God made a plan of salvation that everyone who will, whosoever will, can come to Christ and be saved. It says according to his good pleasure of his will. In Romans 8:29, he says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn of many brethren. In other words, you're coming into the family, baby. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, do you realize that? People look at preachers and says, well, that's a called man of God. So are you. I'm no more called than you are. God called me to a task, but he's got a calling on your life too. He says, for whom he called, he justified. Oh, do you remember Sunday school? Just as if I never sinned. Not a very good definition, truly. Justification means somebody else paid your debt. With every sin that you committed, there's a price tag. And Jesus Christ paid that for you. And it says, in whom he justified, he also glorified. One of these days, right? We're going to float around in heaven. We ain't going to be angels, baby. No, we're going to come back to this earth and have a job. Oh, I just made some of you mad, didn't I? Yeah. Now listen to the rest of this. What then shall we say to these things? What shall we say to the things where he says that we're predestined and called and justified and glorified? What shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Don't you realize he's on your side? there is nothing that you will face in life that Jesus will not empower you to get through it. Glad you guys are getting this. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We started the race with the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And some of us have come and we say, we believe that. Lord, I believe that you really are the Son of God, sent from God to die on the cross for my sins. I think probably most everybody in this room has said that. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And then for some reason, we stop. Why stop? That's not the ending spot. That's the starting spot. You see, God's got a plan for each and every one of you. And if he would show it to you, you would say, oh, I can't do that. And you're right, you can't. But he will empower you to be the difference. You can be an agent of God on this earth, bringing difference into the world that you live. When you walk into the room, you need to realize the presence of God just walked into the room. And he wants to do something mighty. We don't like to think about the limitations of God, but he is a bit limited. He is limited when you don't ask. And he is limited when you don't speak. He is limited when you don't let him work through you. I tell you, with all my heart is bursting today. I know that I know that I know that I know that God wants to do something mighty in Paris, Tennessee. And he's looking for a body of believers. It's not just Bridge of Hope. He's looking for the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, to step into their position as men of God and women of God, the army of God, and say, we're here and we're counted for. Let's do something for Christ. According to his good pleasure. He says, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Now he's going to take just a moment, and he's getting ready to remind these church at Ephesus. See, this book, he was there for 3 years, then he left. He was imprisoned, and he began to write his old church a letter. They call the letter an encyclical letter because he knew it would not stop with Ephesus. The letter that he wrote was going to go to Ephesus first, and then it was going to be passed all through the churches and bring encouragement. And he says we have redemption through his blood. What does that mean? It means you've been bought from the slave block. You once was a slave to sin. You once was a slave to depravity. You once was a slave to whatever Satan put in your heart to do and to be. And you just followed. Why? Because he was your master. And Jesus says, no, you've been bought with a price. Remember Hosea? The Lord told Hosea, he said, I want you to go marry a prostitute. Name is Gomer. Why would any man marry a woman named Gomer? The only Gomer I know is Gomer Pyle. And he married this prostitute. She was a symbol of Israel. And she would go back into prostitution. And he would buy her back. Come on. I want you to be a good woman. I want you to be my bride. I want to bring honor and virtue back to your name. Are you kidding this? Come on. The best this world can do is to say, well, if you're an alcoholic, you'll always be an alcoholic. If you're a drug addict, you're always going to be a drug addict. But the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll make a new creature out of you. All things are passed away. All things are new. Quit labeling yourself as a drunk. You're not a drunk. You're a saint of God. He says that forgiveness of sins. You know, I really don't think we comprehend this very well. I think some of us think that God is the great accountant of the sky. And every one of us have a page up there of debits and credits. And when you do something good, he credits your account. But when you do something bad, he debits it. And if you're like me, your life is full of debits. But Jesus, he wipes away the debit side. He takes away, forgives everything about who you used to be. When you have these moments in your life, thinking how you used to do, you just realize that ain't God. That's the devil trying to remind you who you used to be. You're not that person anymore because of the blood of Christ. He has forgiven you of your sins. Spiritual liberation, restoration to right relationships. I don't care how many times you've been divorced. Let God be Lord of your life and let him show you how to live a good marriage. Bless God. You're making me mad now. God wants to bless you in your relationships. He wants to bring peace, love, new life. And he says he's made known to us the mystery of his will. What's the mystery of his will? That in the fullness of time, he's going to gather us together to be one in Christ, both in heaven and earth. It's unity. Unity is a big deal with God. Bigger than anybody thinks. Now listen to me, because I'm going to get on you just a second. So when you begin to speak against the church, when you begin to grumble and complain, that ain't the voice of God coming out of you. That's the voice of division. Don't let the devil have your tongue. It matters how you talk. Is everything perfect in the church? Goodness gracious, no. Will you talking about it help? No. What are we called to do? We're called to love each other. When we're ugly, when we're not acting pretty, when we're sassy, I'm not called to rebuke you. I'm called to love you. That spirit of slap still comes on me once in a while. But that ain't what God calls us to do. God calls us to love each other, to walk in unity. Why? Because we're going to grow together and we're going to change this world that we live in when we unify. Chapter 2, he says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that's you, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, that we might be reconciled, that we might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. You don't have to agree with everything to walk in unity. I'm 63 years old. When I grew up, the Baptists and the Church of Christ didn't get along with each other. Pentecost didn't get along with nobody. I mean, we thought we had the corner of the market and we didn't have time for anybody else. one of the greatest things that I see happening in the body of Christ today is the merging, the loving. Really, I'm serious. That on Tuesday morning, we have breakfast at Sweet Jordan, not breakfast, but coffee, and we pray, and we're beginning to see God bringing people of different denominations into our circle. It's not just about Bridge of Hope. Bridge of Hope can't do it, but the church can through Christ. The church can change this city, can change this state, and can change this nation. Amen. Folks, some of you have got hope syndrome or Trump syndrome. You think Trump's our savior. He is not our savior. Now, I'm thankful he's in office, but my hope is not in Trump. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go a little further, and the church. My hope is in us, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And when we stop our petty differences, and when we come together, America, America, the nation that used to send out more missionaries than ever, than any other country, now has missionaries coming to America. Other nations are sending missionaries to America. God help us. God forgive us. God heal our land. And how are we going to do it? How can we do? Eric, you're describing a great task. This is too big for my little mind. It is for me too. I just find that hope in Him. It's not about me. It's not about my intellect. It's not about anything about me. It's about my daddy in the sky, in Christ. I tell you, when I read that line that before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the earth, God had His plan together. God knew. Genesis 3:15 is our first prophecy about Christ. Adam's sin did not take God unaware. He was not saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? He said, yep, this is what I expected. This is what I knew was going to happen. But I've got a plan. And I've got a good plan. I'm going to send my Son, and He's going to forgive you of your sins. He's going to redeem you from the life that you were living. Can I just say something? There are no good people in this place. The heart is deceitfully wicked. There are saved people in this place, made righteous by Christ. And we should rejoice in that. And when you sing this song, the joy of the Lord, there ought to come something in your feet that just makes you want to dance. Why? Because Jesus chose me. He put His Spirit inside of me. Greatest thing in the world. Would you stand with me? It's very possible that even though God chose you, you're like, I didn't know about that. I didn't know He chose me. I haven't surrendered to Him. And it's time you surrender. It's time that you allow Jesus to be Lord and Savior, to redeem you, to forgive you, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? There is good things to come. If you wake up in the morning and all you feel is gloom, doom, and despair, You need to get saved. God's not the God. You didn't get that. You didn't like it anyway. God's not the God of gloom, doom, and despair. God's the God of hope. He literally says that. The God of hope will give you all joy and peace, right? I know that some of you are on medication because of what you would say, my anxiety. I need a pill. And there may come a time when you do need something. But let me give you a couple of hints. First of all, quit calling sickness yours. It's not yours. It's from the devil. It's not the goodness of God. He doesn't want you to be sick. He wants you to be healed. Now, if you need help, if you've got a chemical imbalance, by all means, seek a doctor and then seek Christ to bring total healing. The doctors can help you, but only God can restore you. He'll bring wholeness in your life. Would you bow your head? I'm about ready to preach another sermon. You don't want that, neither do I. Well, there's an honest guy finally woke up in the church. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and today you're waking up, your spirit is waking up to what Christ is wanting to do in your life, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, when you pray, would you pray for me? I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart to forgive me of my sins. Amen. Anybody? I see a couple hands. Amen. I see hands. Anybody else? God bless you, sister. I see you. So good to have you, by the way. Now, I'm going to pray for you, and you need to pray also. But I want to tell you, just saying a prayer is not really going to save you. It's in your submission to Christ. It's in, will I really surrender and follow Him? And so it starts with a very simple prayer. It's so simple. It's just, Jesus, I recognize today that I'm a sinner. And I also recognize that you chose me to follow you. And I've been resistant to that. And I've done so many bad things. In my mind, I don't even see how you can save me from all those things. But I know you can. I know you are resurrection and life. Jesus, I pray right now as I surrender my heart to you to come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. God, I would pray today that you would speak to me and that I will hear your voice and that I will follow you all the days of my life. Father, I determine this day I am your servant and I will listen for your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, the Bible says heaven rejoices over one person when they get saved. Can we rejoice just for a second? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Brother Denny, come on up. God bless you. It's been so good. I appreciate you being patient with me. And I know my voice is not lovely, and but the Lord had a word for us today. The Lord wanted to speak to us. I hope that you received that. And let him continue to draw this out of you. God bless you.
Amen. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord.